Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we bring information that we hope you can use. We ask you to be ready to grab hold of it so that you can apply it ASAP. We're going to be talking about education today, so first part of the day, it's all about educational matters. You know, we bring education matters to you frequently, something that we've been doing since 2005, and helping us with that today is expert Ms. Jennifer Lee. Jennifer, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. And a lot of people know, because they had the opportunity to hear us speak with each other before, that you are with the awesome nonpartisan organization, Georgia Budget and Policy Institute. But for the benefit of the people who have not had a chance to hear us yet, could you tell us what the organization is about and share with us your role there?
Sure. So the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute is an organization that works to build a more inclusive economy in Georgia. And we examine the state's budget and public policies and analyze them and propose responsible solutions. My particular focus area is on higher education policy. So I look at the way the state is spending money and the policies that the state has around our public colleges and universities.
Interesting. Okay. So we're not talking about just, we're not talking about the focus just on grade school and secondary level. We're talking beyond.
Yes, I look at technical colleges, public colleges, and universities. So anything from a technical certificate, associate's degree, bachelor's degree, and beyond.
Okay. So what do you see to be some of the major strengths of our educational program at this point?
So one of the strengths of Georgia's higher education system is that we have very strong public institutions. So if you compare Georgia to some other states in the country, we have a lot of options for students that are public colleges and universities, which tend to be much lower cost than private colleges and universities.
Interesting. And when it comes to quality of education at those lower cost public colleges and universities, how do we stack up compared to the private?
Public colleges, our public colleges, we really have a range in the size and type, and there's a lot of choice that students can make. We have a lot of very high quality institutions in our state, but there's always things that we can do to improve in terms of supporting students to complete their degrees and also making college more affordable and accessible for more students in Georgia.
Which leads to the next question I was going to ask, and that has to do with some of the major challenges of our educational programs.
So one of the two big challenges I see in Georgia are related. One of them is around college completion. So there are a lot of students that start college. They really want to get their college degree, but there are challenges that they face along the way in terms of their academic preparation or a lack of support or just challenges navigating the college system or just life challenges that might intrude on their studies that prohibit them from finishing their degree in a timely manner. And then the second challenge that's related is the cost. So college is very expensive for students across income levels, and that can become a big barrier to students enrolling in college and to completing their degrees.
And with regards to the cost, what are you seeing with regards to changes in cost in our educational system over the years?
So the price that students are paying has gone up dramatically in the recent years, especially in the last 10 years or so, which we saw during the recession. So for those of your listeners who may have gone to college, 20 years ago or more, the price is really very different from what it was 20 years or more. Tuition has increased, fees have increased, And then if students are trying to pay for housing either on campus or just paying rent somewhere, all of those costs have really gone up. And a lot of that is directly related to the amount of public investments that states have made into their colleges and universities.
So what kinds of policies do our state legislators enact that bolster our educational programs? What kinds of policy decisions do they make that actually hurt our educational programs?
So there are two different ways to think about how the legislature can support our schools. And they basically pay for schools in two different ways. They can pay for the funding of the schools directly, so providing money to colleges for them to hire faculty and staff and so hire support services and do all of the things that colleges do. So that's the first way that the legislature has some control over the quality and the experience that students have, is making sure that their schools have the resources to teach them, to advise them, and to provide them with services. The second way is through financial aid policies, such as HOPE scholarships or grants that will help those students pay for college.
And so part of that, you mentioned HOPE, and one of the things that you've expressed a concern about when it comes to HOPE is the 7-year time limit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of people don't know that there's a time limit on HOPE scholarships. And the time limit is that if you have started college more than 7 years after your high school graduation, you are no longer eligible for HOPE. And this leads to a lot of challenges for students who take some time off for whatever reason between high school and college. They might have the grades that would qualify for a HOPE scholarship, but simply because they waited a certain amount of time to start college, they cannot receive HOPE scholarships.
And what is the purpose of that? I mean, is it to try to prevent funds from running out? Or is there some other reason that they've made this law that you do it in 7 years or you lose out?
Yeah, the legislature made this change in 2011 and in an effort to save money. After the recession, the lottery funds were not keeping up with the amount of money that the state had promised to students in the HOPE scholarship program. So in order to save money, they made a range of cuts to HOPE, and one of them was this time limit.
Hmm. And have we had quite a few people, as far as we can tell, who have been hurt by that decision, or is the jury still out?
So our best estimates, just based on the ages of students, is that in the university system, actually about 20% of students are affected by this, who are too old, essentially, to receive the HOPE scholarship if they have the grades and meet the other requirements. And then in the technical college system, associate's degree students are also eligible for the HOPE scholarship, and about 44% of students who are associate's degree students at the technical college student have waited too long in order to get the HOPE scholarship. So altogether, we estimate that based on the age and also what percentage of those students might have the grades for HOPE, at least 28,000 students are affected by this time limit.
That's huge. Especially, is that 28,000 per year, or is that the total that we have so far since that law was passed?
That would be per year.
Goodness. So we're talking about 56,000 in 2 years, and it just keeps multiplying after that.
Yes, and there are, a lot of reasons why students wait to go to college. You know, I talked to one student who had actually had gone to a technical school and gotten a certificate, but then her father had a health problem and she was helping to take care of him and she was working. And so she was working and saving money in order to go back to start her bachelor's degree. So there are, you know, students' lives are complicated. Not everyone decides to go to college for a variety of reasons right after they finish high school.
Right.
And so every year there are many students who are affected by this time limit. And frankly, a lot of these students that we've met are very focused because they are older, because they have life experience, because they're often paying for this all on their own and have worked. And so they're very focused students. You know, they're not there in college to waste time or money, you know, or to, you know, just, you know, to goof off. So they're very focused students, but they're ineligible for these HOPE scholarships.
And in the meantime, as you mentioned earlier, the state has ways of helping with the funding of education. Of course, we know that we experienced that tremendous recession a while back, and we haven't fully recovered as far as what kinds of measures were put in place to really make the nation as profitable as it could be, and therefore, of course, help the individual states be as profitable. That said, how is the Peach State looking when it comes to the current, the most recent budget for education?
So the budget is about the same as it was before. We're continuing to creep back out of the cuts that happened during the recession. So the budget is for higher education is slightly bigger, about 5% bigger than it was last year. And again, we're slowly digging ourselves out of the hole that the state made with the recession, which started, you know, about 10 years ago. So it's been kind of a slow and steady climb back out of those cuts.
And when it comes to cuts, and of course, I guess we can all just on an intellectual level understand cuts during a recession. But when there is no recession, what have you found to be the approach that tends to work best for funding our educational program? Making cuts, holding it steady, trying to build up, if possible, a surplus.
Yeah, there was a change that the university system made that did allow colleges to hold a little bit of money to carry over. Colleges are not actually really allowed to hang on to money and not spend it, the money that they're appropriated, and frankly, they don't really have much room to do that because most of them are, you know, need to use all the money that they have and are obligated to use all the money that they have to pay people's salaries, which is what most higher education dollars goes to. But the state does have other ways of building up a surplus, which the state has done in order to save for lean times in the future.
And does that seem to make a difference when we're saving? Because I remember a time when we were working towards building up a surplus, then the control of the legislature changed hands, and the mindset, the approach, the philosophy was very different. The thinking was, hey, look, times are pretty good. And so not only did they not continue to save money, but they decided to go ahead and cut the state's revenues by cutting taxes. And I'm wondering how, you know, when we're cutting our income, how that impacts us down the road, whether there is a recession, whether there's not a recession. And particularly, you know,
That's
when it comes to the ability to fund education.
No, that's a good point. I mean, I think that it's important to look on the other side, which is that when times are good, you know, it's important to spend where there's need. It's important to save for a rainy day. And it's often short-sighted, as you said, to cut the amount of revenue that the state has during good times, not recognizing that there will be a downturn in the future when the state wishes that they had more revenue than they did.
Yeah. Well, as we get ready to close out our conversation, Jennifer, what else would you like for us to be aware of?
So, in addition to the 7-year time limit, there are a number of different ways that the state could work to help make college more accessible and affordable for students. One of the big ways that they could do that is to invest in a need-based aid program. Hmm. That is a financial aid that depends on your family's financial need. And Georgia is one of only 2 states in the country that does not have a need-based aid program. So that is a big gap in an area where the state could invest. We have a very generous HOPE scholarship and grant program, but building on that to add a need-based component would be something that the legislature could do.
How would that help? I know you have some more, but with that one in particular, how would that help bolstering the need-based aspect of it?
Well, there are a lot of students who, because of their family's financial situation, they simply just can't pay anymore to go to college. And that might affect them by not enrolling at all. Mm. It might mean they can't pay a tuition bill and they drop out. Or for a lot of students, just, it means that they're taking on huge amounts of debt. So having some financial aid that accounts for, you know, your family's financial situation is a common sense way to sort of direct funds to those college students that would really benefit from it.
All right. I tell you what. So does it look like that's something that may actually take place at some point in the future, or does that look kind of probably not going to happen in the near future?
There's definitely growing interest in the concept of need-based aid at the legislature, and I think legislators are starting to understand that this is a benefit and that it's something that college students would really benefit from and their constituents would benefit from, but they want to figure out a way to be able to pay for the program. Mm. So like we said, like we talked about before, figuring out kind of the revenue side for the state budget and how to pay for a program is kind of where the legislature is at this moment.
Gotcha. Anything else?
No, I think those are the 2 big things that the legislature really could do.
Well, we're going to definitely be hoping. Should people be thinking about contacting their representatives to voice their opinion on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always helpful for constituents to talk to their legislators about the issues that are concerning to them.
Awesome. Well, Jennifer Lee of Georgia Budget and Policy Institute, we thank you so much for joining us for Education Matters today and really shedding some light on what's happening with regards to the budget aspect of it.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.